We are from a certain aspect, not very aware. We are not very aware of a certain thing. And even if we are aware, then we don't pay much attention to it. That whatever is present in our lives, whatever is around us, within our lives, whatever it is, however much it is, in life, in the world that we live in this, there is khair and there is shar. There is good and there is bad. There is goodness and there is shurur and fitan, evil, negativity, etc. in everything. Take anything in our lives, there is shar within. If you're drinking water, there's also shar. There's a glass, there's shar in the glass. You wear clothes, there's shar included in that. And if you're about to go in a car, there's shar in the car. There's bad. So the factors of good and bad in the night, in the winds, in the particles of dust, in everything within our lives, in the amali life, in the life of practice or worship or anything that we do, there's nothing that we do or that we have in which there is not no shar or fitan. And there is not an element of bad. And there's a reason for our distress and our issues and our ajib illnesses or depression or mental issues. And in our lives, the insan's lives, if he feels that something's not complete, something's remaining, something is not completed, all of this, the reason for this is that there's shurur and fitan. Because shurur and fitan, you can say the element of bad or evil or wrong is included in the life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the cure for this. That all of the things that are bad in life, to save ourselves from these, the solution is the dhikr of Allah subhanallah. Very great ni'mah of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dhikr is a very big ni'mah, massive ni'mah. And as I've said, that in everything there's fitan and shurur, there's bad and evil. This is azim sunnah of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if an individual works on this sunnah and according to this sunnah does amal, then alhamdulillah, his life becomes easy and simple and valuable and precious. Why? Because if a person does amal on this sunnah, on this practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he's safe from all evil, bad, fitna, challenges, tests of life. And this sunnah sharia for Rasulullah's life is that whatever you do in your life, whatever action you implement in life, should be good, should not be haram, should be a good action, because haram is haram. But whatever you do in life, before you start doing that action, do the dhikr of Allah subhanallah. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person remembers Allah, remembers his Lord and Creator, then due to the barakah of Allah's name, in that place, in that action, in that surrounding, in that wind, in that fragrance, in that home, in that bed, in that pillow, in that mattress, whatever you are, wherever you are, with the dhikr of Allah, then the shurur, the evil forces within, around, surrounding, that action disappear. Nothing can make that evil or bad effect disappear apart from the dhikr of Allah. If we do all of our actions in our lives, in the day, without the dhikr of Allah, and then there's fitna included in the action, then the fitnas, they disturb the whole life of a person. They totally eliminate the barakat from the person's life. Sometimes it happens that a person implements an action that he doesn't know, but there's fitna within the action. There's an evil within the action. But alhamdulillah, if he does the action with the dhikr of Allah, then the fitna disappears from the action. And then the insan's life becomes smooth. But it's sad that in our lives we are Muslims, we have a knowledge of awareness of the right, but we don't take the assistance of the good things. The dhikr of Allah, we don't take the assistance of the remembrance of Allah in our actions. We don't give importance to the dhikr of Allah in our lives. We don't understand that Allah Ta'ala's fadl, His blessings, His mercy upon us with His dhikr that He allows us to do. Now dhikr, Allah's remembrance. As soon as a person starts to do the dhikr of Allah before any action, then if he wants to attain, for example, if you don't do dhikr of Allah and you start an action, then you straight away lose the core and you can say the foundation of that action. We don't realize, but the consequences will tell us that is this good or is this bad? That this action with the dhikr of Allah becomes great, elevated. And what is dhikr? Dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, is Allah's name. To repeat it, this is the dhikr of Allah. That's it. That's it. Yes? In whichever way you mention Allah's name, you connect yourself to Allah's name, then that action becomes a dhikr of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make this action continuous, what has Allah ta'ala given to us? What has Allah said? Allah has given us a verse, an ayah of the Qur'an. The verse of the Qur'an, Allah has made it such a recitation and so easy that before any action, if we do that dhikr, this is the dhikr of Allah, Allah's name is contained within Allah's ism, Allah's personal name, then it's total dhikr without before any action, and you cannot forget it, and you cannot even forget that dhikr. And the meaning of dhikr isn't this, for example, what we are doing here is dhikr and that's it. No, this is dhikr, alhamdulillah, we are remembering Allah. Why is this dhikr? Because we will repeat Allah's name, we will recite Allah's name, so it will become dhikr in it. When we say Allah's name, then it will be dhikr. If we don't say Allah's name, then there won't be dhikr. This is the barakah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this action very simple and concise. And sure, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this is very important and it's needy before any action. How should we do this dhikr? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Subhanallah. End of story. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah has mentioned this in the Quran. Included this in the Quran. What is this? That I start in the name of what? In the name of Allah, with Allah's personal name. And because Allah Ta'ala has given this to us, that one is Allah Ta'ala's Jalali name, and to cool it down, Allah has given us two beautiful names, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. One is Allah's personal name, Allah. Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So how can there be fitna left on actions? How can our actions not be complete? How can they not be with barakat and blessings? No. So Allah Ta'ala has put so much mercy into this verse, and Allah has given us the total cure for all of the problems in life. Take any action you want to do, as long as it's halal, as long as it's permissible. If we don't say this before that action, then there will be painful consequences. But if we say this kalima beforehand, then there will be a great rahmah of Allah in our actions. Look now, for example, a person goes to his wife, he's got married and it's halal. If you're married, to go to your wife, even at that time, a man recites the name of Allah. The person who recites the name of Allah and starts the action with the partner, with the wife, then when the child is born, Allah Ta'ala says, my protection is with that child. And as long as that child, remember, as long as that child is born in this way, because at that time a person, he has no consciousness, he's in the jazabat and shahawat, but Allah Ta'ala has given a beautiful method that this is the biggest fitnah. The negative consequence of how many of our children are disobedient and rude, and the reason for this is one, that fitna we did not eliminate, that nutfa at that time went with what? With fitna, it went inside. Yes, there was shurud, there was fitna, there was evil, that when that water was meeting, when the clot was being formed, there was shurud and evil effect was there, present. So obviously Allah Ta'ala allowed that to take shape, and then that matter that comes out from the male, it goes into the female, and then the matter develops and the clot of blood forms, and from there the child develops. But there was shar present within that matter, and we didn't eliminate that shar at that time, and we didn't do anything we did in the action with the name of Allah, then that child has, you can say, negative, evil or bad effects within, and became, you could say, disobedient. But if the person is mentioning the name of Allah, doing the action in the name of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala says, I guarantee that child, as long as that child is alive, that child will stay under my protection, my hifazah. Subhanallah. What a big point. Big point. So imagine the shar that's in the child if the action is not done properly with the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. What a big point. So This is an example. But whichever action we do without the dhikr of Allah will have a bad consequence. Look, there's no greater kitab than the Qur'an, is there? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Why? Such a great kitab, Allah's kitab we're reading. Even then Allah says recite this, because shurur, the evil effects could be there. Maybe this recitation will take you towards the negative consequences. You won't get the benefit. Shar is present everywhere. Evil is present everywhere. Bad consequences are present everywhere. So dhikr of Allah, they are essential for us, just as essential it is for us to breathe. When we breathe in and out, we are alive. The same way, dhikr of Allah is so essential for us, due to which we get all of the barakat of life. Everything becomes useless in life if it's not done with the dhikr of Allah. Everything becomes useless. So we should be steadfast with this. We should hold fast to this. That whatever action we do in life, whatever type of action it is, even if it's halal, obviously it has to be halal and permissible. But when we do an action, for example, we're writing something, we're writing a letter, it's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we will write, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now here the ulama, the respectful scholars have said, that sometimes it happens that is Allah's name. And we know, for example, I'm writing a letter to somebody, and if I write the letter, it will go to the other person, he doesn't take care of the letter, this name, then there may be disrespect in the action. And Allah's name, if I start writing with the name of Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I start with the name of Allah. So here the ulama ikram, they've said a very good point here, that at this time, if you want to be cautious and careful, and you don't know if that person will protect the letter, then don't write Bismillah, rather read it, Subhanallah. If you read it and write the letter, then it will have the same effect as if you wrote down Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So here, we are not saved either. Even here in the cautiousness, even if we're cautious, rather than writing that, we've read it, recited it, so we'll be saved from the fitna. And we'll have the same good, positive effect in doing that action of writing the letter. So if the insan, the human being, brings the dhikr of Allah as a habit in the life, then I will say in life, his life will become like Jannah. He will be enjoying paradise. And thousands of diseases the cure. There will be no disease. If Allah's name has come, then there's no disease. No illness. Every illness, disease is... originates from shar and evil and fitna. So many duas, Rasulullah said, Allah save me from the fitna of the night, of the wind. In the wind, is there any fitna? Allah save me from the fitna of the night. Save me from the fitna of the day. So what does this mean? To be saved from fitna, why is this being announced? That when you do anything in the morning, do the dhikr of Allah. And in the evening, do the dhikr of Allah. When you go to your bed, do the dhikr of Allah. When you sleep, do the dhikr of Allah. When you're awake, do the dhikr of Allah. When you wake up, do the dhikr of Allah. So if a person's life is dhikr, and if there's another person who has no dhikr, then he has become a bubble of shar, of evil, and nothing else. In his life is shar and nothing else. So fighting, arguments, murder, disputes, quarrels, fighting, loss of goodness, all of this will go. If a person's trying, I want a good house, the other person doesn't even know what is dhikr. Yeah, so there'll be a clash. Yes, opposites. Yes, because one person is trying to eliminate fitna, the other one's bringing fitna, and there'll be a clash. And somebody sat down, for example, in his home, and suddenly fitna starts, because there's fitna there, and a fight starts, an argument. The person looks at the other person, and dislike starts, and the argument starts. He doesn't know, why am I angry on this person? Yeah, on the child there's anger. On the wife there's anger, while he's seated. On his daughter, it's his daughter, and he's getting angry. For a little while, over a small thing, the young children, small children, and he starts hitting the children because he's angry. You see, there's many complaints that he hits the little children. So in life, the life becomes, you can say, adab without the dhikr of Allah. It becomes useless without the dhikr of Allah. Tell me. So for example, if you take a goat and you slaughter it, will you eat it? No. Why? Because think, why? Because if I have slaughtered the goat in the right, same way, the right way, over the neck, over the throat, but we can't eat it because it's haram. Why is it haram? Why is it haram? Because there's fitna within that goat. In its meat there will be fitna, in its hair there will be fitna. There will be bad, there will be evil, and that's why it's stated as haram. Otherwise, why is it haram? Allah Ta'ala says, if you do my dhikr, then the fitna will come out of that animal and you can eat it as much as you want. There will be goodness in there. There won't be the bad effect in there. There won't be negativeness in there. Look how big is a camel. A camel, big animal, strong. You slaughter it in the right way, you eat the meat, you benefit. Now here we think, oh, those people, they eat meat as well, who don't slaughter in the name of Allah. They have no bad effect. They don't recite the name of Allah. And we're running around looking for halal. Yes. But don't you see there's a difference in the life, a massive difference, that in your life and the other life without iman, isn't there a difference? In the difference of your children and the other's children, isn't there a difference? The biggest thing is haya. Haya. When haya, modesty evaporates, then everything that's good, it disappears. What else is left? Tell me. What else is left? So wherever you see there's no haya in that home, if there's no haya, now listen to this carefully and attentively. In that home where there's no haya, then what is that? That is due to haram. Because that haram, we have consumed it, or we have taken it as haram, because we have not done the action with the dhikr of Allah. That halal meat we have eaten. We have bought halal chickens and meat. It is halal. But whilst we are eating, we haven't recited the name of Allah. Then there's fitna in that action as well, of eating, cooking and eating. So what a big punishment Allah Ta'ala has given here, that you have not recited my name. Are you not ashamed? I'm giving you ni'mah with iman, I'm giving you food. Without my dhikr, without my name, you are eating. So this is the hikmah of Allah. That's why there's fitna contained in everything. Allah says, when you don't recite my name, then due to this action of fitna, I will give you wretchedness and loss in your life. Is this not the case? Yes. Let's take this glass of water. Nice glass, fresh water, beneficial water. And all of this water, maybe this is mineral water, and we could filter it even more to make it even pure, even more pure. So we drink mineral water, and there are benefits in there, nutrients. Many people, they, for example, who are a bit fussy like me, I want to drink mineral water. I drink mineral water at home. I don't drink the tap water, etc. So the answer for that is that I drink the tap water from the well. You can drink the mineral water, but I recite the name of Allah, and then it becomes even better than the mineral water. Subhanallah, it becomes like the fountain water. Why? Because this is water. This is water, and it's clean and pure that we can see. Will you drink it? There may be so many fitnas and evil effects and bad effects in this water. And I can tell you this for sure. Yes. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said that when somebody did wudu, that I could see that with the wudu water, his sins were being eliminated. We can't see this, can we? In this same glass of water, it's clean and pure, and it's mineral water, and the glass has been washed and purified. But we're in the masjid. But will I drink it? When I drink it, maybe many illnesses will go into me. Maybe. Many diseases. Maybe I won't be able to sleep at night. Maybe I won't be able to wake up at the hajjah time. Not maybe, rather this is the reality. This is the punishment. This is the punishment from Allah, that I gave you water and you drank this water without my name, oh monkey or ape. How did you dare to drink this? Do you know where this water came from? This glass, you think it's a glass of water in front of you? It's a glass, isn't it? I'm giving the example here. And there's water inside it. Where's this water come from? Allahu Akbar. The whole ocean Allah created of water. And that ocean, there's an ocean, a sea, and there are hundreds of thousands of creatures in that water, and they die in that water. Tell me, if hundreds of thousands of animals die in that water, then they must have smell, it must be dirty, impure, isn't it? Isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala prepared from there the water for me to drink, this water. First, Allah Ta'ala saved that water. Allah Ta'ala put salts in that water. So now science will tell us, those salts Allah created in the oceans, the all of the jarasim and the germs, etc., within the water, Allah Ta'ala purifies everything due to the salts in the sea. So yes, so do people not do wudu from the ocean, the sea water? Yes, because it's pak, pure. Now I can't go to the sea. Allah says, don't worry, wherever you are, I will deliver the water to you. Allah has made the water cycle. Allah created the clouds. And those clouds, subhanAllah, first the water in the oceans, it evaporates due to the heat. And then it rises into the sky. Then they form the clouds. Then Allah Ta'ala has put filters on the clouds, that the water goes and hovers in the clouds with a certain tariqah, gravity. And then that water that evaporated from the ocean went and formed the clouds. Then those clouds moved across the earth and they became more dense. Then the water condenses, and then that water falls down as rain. SubhanAllah. And after that cloud, it gathers, it forms, it becomes dense. And then after the rain falls onto the earth, onto the grass, onto the soil, and then that water, it goes down, absorbs into the earth, into the land, becomes the water table. And then we have, subhanAllah, different seasons. We have winter, we have monsoon, summer, spring. But Allah has made the water cycle so that this one glass of water can come to me, can reach to me. I swear by Allah, if this water cycle was not present, I could not drink this water. This glass of water would not come to me. Then Allah Ta'ala allowed the water to be, you could say, taken from the water table, the way we've extracted it, and then it comes through the system of taps and pipes we have, and then Allah Ta'ala says that water allows the water to flow through the tap, through the pipes and the taps, then it runs when we open the tap, and we seal it into bottles and containers and glasses, then we drink it. Not even that. Now, the cycle is not complete. Allah says, you cannot drink this water. Could you show me how can you drink this water without my permission? Allah has made a nizam, a system in my body. What is happening in that system? There are two thermometers. Subhanallah. One thermometer is saying that it is controlling the level of water in my body. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. In my body, there's a moisture level. There's a water level. And how is that being controlled? That one thing is telling me that your water level has reduced, that is thirsty, that will come to the tongue, then I'll demand and I'll drink water. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And you say, oh, you know, I don't feel thirsty. We say, we take it for granted so easily, and it's so logical and such a deep system that Allah Ta'ala has created in us. We say with ease, oh, so, no, I'm not thirsty, I don't water. And if somebody offers another person water, he's thirsty, he takes the water. So these are two thermometers. You cannot drink if you don't, just with your own liking. So when that thermometer says, no, I need, I'm thirsty, and then he runs towards water. When he runs towards water, then Allah Ta'ala has prepared for the water already. They take the water, see where it has come from, and drink it. Allahu Akbar. So this is one system. And the control, the level is being controlled. So if water is less in the body, then the body's thermometer sensor will tell us, and if there's more than necessary, then the thermometer sensor will tell us. You see, when there's too much water in the body, then the feet, they swell. I'm not a doctor, but I've studied a little bit. So the feet swell up. Then you'll see that how they extract the water from the stomach, from the limbs, because the level has been exceeded. This is Allah's glory. So how a human being is very delicate. So that water is then extracted. So Allah Ta'ala has also given us another thermometer, another sensor. Allah Ta'ala has given us the kidneys. SubhanAllah, say SubhanAllah. That as soon as I drink water and there's too much level, but I was thirsty before, I was thirsty, then I drank the water. But when I drink Coke, then, for example, you'll drink a few more glasses of water on that, or take lassi or mango juice. So how do we control that? It's become extra sugar. So Allah Ta'ala says, if there's extra, maybe you'll die. If you have excess, or your health will go down. But you've drank it in enjoyment. So Allah has made the kidneys and the water. Then it goes, it flows to the kidneys. Say SubhanAllah, then the kidneys absorb the water. It flows through the kidneys. They catch the water. It flows through. They filter the water. And such a machine Allah Ta'ala has installed in the kidneys. They do things. It filter the water. Take out the impurities. And after filtering the water, as soon as it flows through, then Allah Ta'ala says that kidneys, they allow the water to flow through. It becomes pure. Purified, and then it's extracted from the body, eliminated from the body. Yes, through the science of urology. We have to go through that. So tell me, if I'm an animal and I drink this glass of water and I'm not grateful to Allah, it's your sugar that with your name I drink this water. Such a great action. So when a person commits a crime, you've seen how with difficulty the water has come to us. So if a person is committing a big crime, that Allah's massive favor on us, that I'm thirsty, I get water, Allah has given water to us through the water cycle, and then if I drink it according to my desires, Allah says if he's done my dhikr and drank the water, then this water will become beneficial upon beneficial for him and will eliminate all the diseases and problems from him. But if he doesn't do my dhikr and drinks water, then the shurur, the evil will go into him, and that will change into diseases and illnesses and shaitan. So do we realize now why we should do dhikr? Do we understand? That's why we should do dhikr of Allah. So, such ni'mas we've been given. Take every story. Take eating, food, fruits. Take everything. What is there that we should be doing shukr about? We can only do shukr at that time. That whether it's morning, evening, day, night, waking, sleeping, sitting, walking. Always we should be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always. But here's one point here now. One point is coming to mind. The respectful scholars are here. The muftis are here. I'm ashamed of speaking. They come in, they sit, and then I get ashamed. I cannot speak. So brothers, there's a point that's coming to my mind. That what is the dhikr of Allah? That Allah Ta'ala said, do my dhikr and then drink water. If you don't do dhikr and drink water, you'll get a punishment. So what is the dhikr of Allah? What's the logic behind Allah's remembrance? The dhikr that we do. Alhamdulillah, we are doing this action regularly. We're taking the fruits and the mangoes and we're grateful to Allah. But deep down, think, what is this dhikr we're doing? What's the benefit? Allah Ta'ala has made us do His dhikr. What a great ni'mah Allah has given. What a great, great treasure. But what is the dhikr of Allah? Did you do dhikr in the morning? Say, Alhamdulillah. Yes, we did dhikr in the jamaat, in the congregation. Evening came, sun has set, night has come. And there's fitna, the fitna rains down upon the earth. So many shurur in the night, so many evil effects and forces, so many calamities, so much destruction which is hidden in the night. We cannot imagine. It's there. Allah Ta'ala says, why? Because the good night is for my dhakir, Allah says. Allah says, why do I make night khair for that person who's a rebel? Who's a rebel? That Allah Ta'ala says that even if a person who's a rebellious, he doesn't remember me. So how can I give that person goodness? There'll be shurur and fitna and evil and darkness in that person's life. He becomes busy. He commits such sins. The night makes that person commit such sins and crimes that until the morning, that individual has become worse than the animals. And he is reached to the corner of hellfire just due to the one night that's passed. Say, Subhanallah, Allah saved us. Allah saved us. This is the dhikr of Allah that has saved us. Brothers, this is the dhikr of Allah. Let's be do du'as to the walis of Allah who taught us the dhikr of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala send rahmah and mercy on their graves, my Hazrat. What was so great about him? I say, Subhanallah, how can a person, generally speaking, forget the favor of a human being? I remember Mufti Rafi Sahib Usmani, Hazrat Taqi Usmani, these are two great sheikhs of this time, and they are muhaddithin, they are scholars, and they are the sons of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. They say, Hazrat Mufti Rafi Sahib, and you know how great a personality is, I don't need to introduce him. He said that our father, all of his favors remained with us. All of his favors and his teachings in my life are due to my father. The kitabs I studied from him, I've learned ilm from him, fatwas from him, and all of the mahal environment of uloom. And he said, every breath of mine, every hair is, you can say, occupied and immersed in the favors of my father. But he said that there was a greater muhsin than this on me. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. A greater favor of there's a person who gave me greater favors than this on me, to me. I didn't hear hadith from him, didn't learn hadith from him. He didn't teach me fiqh, jurisprudence. He didn't teach me how to write fatwa, Subhanallah. And I didn't know him myself before. And he didn't know who I was. And I didn't know that the greatest favor upon me in my life was the greatest favor of my life was that he took our hand and took us to Hazrat Arfi rahmatullahi and put my hand into his hand. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Dr. Abdul Hay rahmatullahi alayhi, Arifi. And Hazrat Rafi Sahib said, the greatest favor of my father on me, I put all of his favors aside, but when he took me, my brother, from our hands and took our hands and put them into the hands of his sheikh, and he said that, please, Hazrat, do give bayah to my children, and he accepted us. And the benefit we attained from that, Subhanallah, that our hand went into the hand of our sheikh, and he said, I have no words to describe that today I would not be on this maqam, this level, if I did not have that company. So my brothers, the walis of Allah have a big favor upon us. If Hazrat did not give us his mercy and his attention and focus and did not teach us dhikr, could we be sat down here in this masjid today and do the dhikr of Allah? Without dhikr, we'd be drinking water. Without dhikr, we'd be eating food. Without dhikr, we'd be doing every action. We'd be reciting Quran. Without dhikr, we'd be praying salah. Even coming into the masjid, he stated, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. There's a dua, Sultani Qadim. There's a sunnah of Rasulullah, how he recited these things and entered into the masjid. Subhanallah. Shurur and fitan. Are there not fights in the masjid? Aren't there arguments and quarrels in the masjid? The amount of quarrels, people grab each other's neck. Why? Because there's shurur. There's futun, fitan, because these people don't do my dhikr. And today, the masjids are closed. And on the members it's announced that how dare you, this is the place you cannot do dhikr, subhanAllah, that this is not a place where you're allowed to do the dhikr of Allah, because this is the generation of fitna, my friends. Imagine this. Is this not the case? Today we see this with our eyes. So Allah Ta'ala says, don't even breathe without doing my dhikr. So as I was saying, that what effect does the dhikr allow to take place? That when a person does the dhikr of Allah, just like I drank water, and hundreds of thousands of fitnas are contained within that water, and if I didn't take the name of Allah, then what would happen? Then all of that goes inside me. Now I do the dhikr of Allah. Now see what dhikr does. And this is the asal psychology, the genuine, the real psychology of doing dhikr that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. That when a person does dhikr of Allah, like I have drank water, and before I drink water, I do the dhikr of Allah, then I drink the water. So then what happens is that when I drink this water, then when I do the dhikr of Allah before that, then I have assigned myself, handed myself over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, say it. That Allah, your name, I've recited your name, and I assign myself and everything of mine over to you. Whatever is in this, whatever comes about due to drinking this water, whatever illnesses come, whatever occurs, Allah, I have assigned over to you. You are the one who can protect me from this dhikr of Allah, due to this dhikr of Allah that I've done. And this is the meaning of dhikr. That when a person becomes a dhakir, he remembers Allah. He has handed himself over to Allah. My Mawla, I am nothing. Allah, I cannot be saved. I cannot even see that I am seeing. The night is like that. The same day, the same food. I don't even know what is right and wrong, what is good and what is bad. But you know, Allah, you are khabir and basir. You know how much fitna is in this, what I'm drinking or eating or doing. I am unaware. I am ignorant. I am reciting your name in every action I'm doing, and I hand myself over to you in every action that I'm doing, Allah. Isn't this the case, Mawlana Sahib? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now you understand the point? Have you understood? This is the dhikr of Allah. So when an individual hands himself over to Allah, the Creator, then Allah says, because you've handed yourself over to me, O man or woman, you've handed yourself over to your Rabb, your Khalik, your Malik, to your Khabir and Basir, then go. You are free. I've accepted you. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So now, isn't this? And then see what fitna comes to you. See what problem comes to you. What issue comes to you. SubhanAllah. So here, when I now come into the protection of Allah, then suddenly Allah Ta'ala's army of angels comes to the man. Go, my angels, Allah says, this man has assigned himself to me, handed himself to me. Sometimes it happens that an accident is about to occur. Man's amazed that how did I get saved from this accident? Wallahi, I tell you this. That how, for example, this car, how did I get out of that scenario? Person's walking on the pavement, and the car's very close. He's just walking, enjoying, and the car just passes by. So close. He says, huh? How was I saved? Why was he saved? Because he was a dhakir who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he woke up in the morning, and he knows that I've woken up in the morning, I prayed salah, and after praying salah, what did he do? He said, I assign myself, I hand myself over to Allah. I hand myself over to Allah. He sits down, alhamdulillah, for the dhikr of Allah. And all day he has made his day protected because he's handed himself over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now tell me that what a great, you could say fortune, great fortune that we sit in the morning to do the dhikr of Allah. Is this not the massive favor of the wali of Allah that the whole day, our whole day we've handed over to Allah? And I swear by Allah, what evil, what negatives there would have been in the day, and problems and difficulties that are eliminated due to this action. Otherwise we don't know, we are so disobedient. We could become munkars and people have no iman. Such fitnas, that person, if he wakes up in the morning, Rasulullah says something, that time will come when he will wake up in the morning with iman and he will die as without iman, or he will wake up without iman and die with iman. So, for example, we have no ilm, no knowledge, we have no awareness, that within a second we could sell our iman. Today we just think money, and money is everything. Yes, dunya. And we are so selfish today, so selfish in this ma'ashra, in this world we live, that within a second somebody could buy us. You could buy our knowledge, our uloom, our hadith, our iman, shaitan can buy. It's not impossible, I swear by Allah, we are saved. Alim, hafidh, qari, muhaddith, scholar, everyone is saved from the evil, and everyone can be saved from the fitna due to one action, which is the dhikr of Allah. That I've seen, for example, big muhaddithin, big muftiyan, big scholars, big alims. When I see them sat in dhikr in our halaqa, then my heart cries. That my friends, this is nur ala nur. What great individuals. They didn't trust in the ilm. They didn't trust in their Quran. They didn't trust in their hadith knowledge. They didn't trust the praising of people. They crushed their desires and they handed themselves over to Allah through the dhikr of Allah, through the remembrance of Allah. So amazing, amazing humility. An act of humbleness. If we don't do the dhikr of Allah, I will show you such mutakabbir people in the world. The ilm knowledge creates kibr and pride in the hearts of people. Do you know this? That a human being becomes a jahil. This ilm makes him a jahil. These ulum and Quran knowledge, if a person doesn't do the dhikr of Allah, he can become a jahil. I tell you the truth. This is the fact. How the doors of shaitan's invitation open for those individuals who don't do dhikr, but this is the kamal of the wali's of Allah. They've given us such a great lesson. Hazrat Hakimul Ummat rahmatullahi said, he is not an alim if he has not gone to the wali Allah and learnt dhikr of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allah said very clearly in the Quran, Allah has announced that when khashiyat is generated, when a person has that purity within, he's an alim. Without khashiyat, you cannot be an alim. And how do you generate this? Through the dhikr of Allah, from the remembrance of Allah. So this is the point we need to understand. Massive point, significant point. We've understood this. That what is the reason we do dhikr? When an individual does dhikr of Allah, he is assigning himself, handing himself over to Allah. So my brothers, look at the favor of the great Naqshbandi Mashayikh on us. May we give our all for them. The walis of Allah, especially the Naqshbandi sheikhs, whose name is Naqshbandi. What is the effect of the Naqshbandi name? That person who doesn't do dhikr is not that good. We've done one tasbih, la ilaha illallah. And the Naqshbandi says that we are not those that we've done 10 tasbih in the morning, 10 in the evening, 5 subhanallah tasbihs, 5 durood sharif tasbihs. No, we are not those human beings. We are Naqshbandi. What do we do? In our hearts, always we remember Allah. Always in our hearts we remember Allah. Very important to understand that a person, if he drinks water and does the dhikr of Allah and he signs himself over to Allah, then imagine that Naqshbandi individual in his heart always is remembering Allah. Then every second he's handed himself over to Allah. Every second of the day, every second of the night, he has handed himself over to Allah. SubhanAllah, that picking up such mashayikhs slippers, we should put them on our heads and we should appreciate them. And those who have not learned dhikr, they run that, please insert the name of Allah into my heart so that every second I can hand myself over to Allah. This is such great action. If we don't learn this, then what is this? This is kibr. If it's not kibr, then what else is it? Why don't we learn? Such scholars in Muftiyan, their shoes, I should lick them, not just put them on my head. That they go to the company of the wali of Allah, that please teach us the dhikr of Allah as well. The whole Quran and hadith they put to one side and they presented their heart, that please put the name of Allah into our heart so we can recite it. Is no difference here? Is there no difference? What a big point that deserves recognition. So the dhikr of Allah, do it, brothers. As long as you do it, you'll be protected. And there's a machine in your heart, it's working. Allah's put the petrol in, Allah started it. Isn't Allah? Yes. So why do we let it stop? Why do we let it stall? Every second, even if you get 3 minutes, as I've said, when you're free from salah, rather than looking around left and right, do the dhikr of Allah. Maraqib. In your heart, the Naqshbandi shouldn't be looking around wasting time. You're in the shopping center, marketplace, in the plane, in the boat. You don't need to look around and look at other people. For what? One Naqshbandi wali Allah, and somebody came and asked him that there's a person lives in this village, very famous person. He said, I don't know this person. He said, 10 years you're living and you don't know him? He said, 10 years, I don't even know my son's name. How can I know the name of this person? I just keep my eyes closed and I recite the name of Allah in my heart. I do maraqba. I don't know who's here, not here, left and right, up and down. I've assigned myself to Allah. Is this correct? So this is what we should do. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, such a great reward. That I just gave you a little bit of praise and definition and recognition of dhikr. This is Allah's massive favor upon us, Allah's karam, Allah's mercy, Allah's blessings. Don't be ungrateful, O human being. Every second, turn your heart to the dhikr of Allah. Do two actions, inshallah. This is the statement of my sheikh, rahmatullahi. If you do two actions, then the doors of Jannah will open for you. Two actions. One is that every second become the dhakir, remember Allah. And the other, every second, that be cautious of the sins. Leave the sins. Yes, I didn't say leave. I said first, be cautious of the sins. Allah will allow us to leave the sins. So always live the life with two actions. Be the dhakir and be cautious of the sins. Like we are cautious, we're trying to stave away the snake or the scorpion. If we know that here in this area there are snakes, or maybe underneath this rock or grass there will be a snake, when I go to the bed, we'll dust it down, there may be a spider. The same way we should live our life like this, we should be trying to stay away from the sins. Be cautious. Oh, there are sins here. I shouldn't go here. I shouldn't say this. It will become a sin. I shouldn't do the action. It will become a sin. Should be cautious. If I'm cautious and I do dhikr of Allah in parallel, then don't be afraid of dying. Rather, you should desire that I want to pass away and go to Allah so that the doors of Jannah are open for me. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and capability, because we've extended our discussion. So let's do a little bit of dhikr now. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.